Welcome to a series of podcasts about Brexit and European artists living in the UK. I'm Karen Glossop from Wishbone, and I have with me here Patrizia Paolini. Patrizia, you're Italian. You're from Montegranaro, a small place in the Marche region. And you came to London in 1996 to study. And although you meant to go back afterwards, you ended up staying here working as a theatre maker and also a cleaner. Your work has included collaborations with Ridiculousmus and Unfinished Business, as well as your creation of solo work of your own. Paul and I met you at Camden People's Theatre, CPT, I think at the end of the 1990s, is that right?
Yeah,
and we collaborated together on a show called In Cahoots.
Absolutely, yes.
So that's back in the day.
That's like, must have been 97.
Yeah, something like that, 98, I think.
Probably, yeah.
And we've kept up in touch since, and in particular today we're going to really talk about what it means for European artists living in the UK now that Brexit is going to happen. So we've all had quite a fraught time recently with the referendum and the prospect of some pretty big changes up ahead. And I wanted to ask you, Patrizia, first of all, were you actually able to vote yourself in this referendum?
No, I wasn't allowed to vote because I don't have a British citizenship. And I was very disappointed about that because... Sorry, I don't know if I can expand, but
yeah,
I really felt quite left out. I'm not British, but after 20 years of living in this country, in a question of that kind, they regard very much my life as well as everybody who is from this country. I don't know. I felt quite...
Did you get to speak to other people in your situation? Do you know other people, other Europeans?
Actually, I had a few friends. Another Italian friend of mine. She was traveling. She was going to be away for the date of the referendum. She went ahead to get the the paper in order to get what do you call it when you give the right to vote to somebody else?
Proxy vote.
Yes. And they told her, no, absolutely, you can't vote. I'm sorry, terribly sorry. And so we were talking on the phone. So I said, this is really disappointing. So we are sharing, this is before the result, obviously. And then after the result, I read a few articles about people who have been living in this country for maybe 15, 18 years, quite a long time. And they felt pretty much the same, that there's something quite strange by the fact that we didn't have anything to say. But then, I don't know.
It's interesting, so even before the vote took place, it was almost like it had already started, the feelings of not being seen as part of...
Yeah, I think so. I thought... this is an important question. Somehow, I got very interested... before the actual vote, but once the thing was, the debate was becoming quite quite dramatic towards the 23rd, and everybody were kind of involved somehow to the last, especially after the death of Joe Cox.
For me
it was really shocking that day, absolutely shocking that somebody should, we're gonna died in that way, and you can feel the reason of that.
Yeah, and Jo Cox was a prominent campaigner on behalf of refugees, in fact, wasn't she?
So it's like, as an immigrant, actually, it was the first actual time that I felt quite that. In London, you don't feel from another country, actually. Even when at the beginning when I came, I couldn't speak English. Somehow if you feel part of this big pot and everything happens, everything is quite interesting.
Can I ask you a bit about what it was like? Because I didn't know that was your first job in London, as working as a cleaner.
Mm.
Can I ask you a bit about how that...
Well, I came over to London to stay for a few months to do a theatre school with Philippe Collier, that at the time was here. And I was meant to go back maybe within 3-4 months, maybe 6 months. But then I met people there who I liked, particularly David Woods from Ridiculousness. Mm-hmm. Was like, we're talking about 96, 97, maybe January 97, this kind of time. And so anyway, I decided to stay. I thought maybe I should stay a bit longer.
So it was actually friendship and collaboration with other artists,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
made you decide to make this the place where you lived and worked.
But because as well, you could feel straight away that there was such a, in London, there was such an amazing vibe about, mm-hmm, art and culture, which is nothing like that in Italy. I used to live in Rome before coming here, living in London. So, you know, the difference was very evident. And so even though I couldn't speak any English at all, I could feel there was so much going on. And I thought, you know, for somebody who want to do this job, want to have, give it a go to become an artist, to be a creative person, there is no way for me that I can survive in Rome. In that sense, you know,
yeah,
because whereas a lot
of,
yeah, there is no funding at all, blah blah blah. There wasn't, there is even worse nowadays. Anyway, to go back to the cleaning job. So I remember I was living with some people in Hammersmith, you know, a shared flat with 3-4 people, among whom there was an Italian guy, and who introduced me to his girlfriend. She was an English woman, was taking the qualification to teach English to foreign. Anyway, they were, and she said to me, "Oh, would you like a job? Maybe I could talk to my mum. She's looking for a cleaner. You're Italian, you don't speak." You know, she was trying to help me out. So I started working for this family in Wimbledon. And then very quickly they introduced me to other families, and they were all very lovely, very middle class, and
I
ironed beautifully. They were super happy, and you know, it's quite nice. I felt really probably a bit patronized in some way. You know, you're so Italian, it's lovely, you do a beautiful thing. You know, Italian people do beautiful things, like ironing better than anyone else and cleaning better. But you know, it was really good in a sense.
So your first taste of British people were a bit patronizing, but at least very nice.
Oh,
friendly.
Very nice.
A sense of being made
to
feel at home.
Very nice, but you know that there are different middle classes. There are classes that are a bit, they're maybe a bit even ashamed that they use you as a cleaner, but they know you study arts and stuff. You know, do you know what I mean? It's quite sensitive. And then, you know, the presents at Christmas, it's absolutely lovely. But you know, it was very tough because I couldn't speak any English at all, and I felt absolutely lonely, and I made a massive effort to you know, to keep on going.
So you really stuck at it, and not only did you make a living for yourself,
yeah,
but you also developed as an artist.
Yeah, yeah. All of this, of course, fed into my work, and I remember I became a solo performer out of despair because I couldn't speak to anyone, because my language was, my vocabulary was inexistent. So I remember I was, you know, after cleaning 3-4 houses, come back at home, what I'm doing on my own here, and I just start getting a bit crazy, and so I'm making things, and you know, that's how I create my little solo shows, and then eventually things get better. But what I want to say, it was really, I made a massive, massive effort. It was, you know, different culture, Italy. Mm. Maybe nowadays it's a bit more close, it's closer how people understand each other, but just because of Europe, really. Mm-hmm. But like, I remember the food and everything was very, very different than now. The shops around, you wouldn't find the same variety you could have. And as well, you know, you really feel, you miss people, you miss your culture, you miss the fact that you can chat with somebody, but I was very determined to at least to stay, to learn the language and to see if I could make it, could create something on my, you know, with my own creativity, with my own mind and whatever. And it was quite interesting because in Italy there is no welfare, or there is, but it's so impossible to get money, mm-hmm, if you don't have a job, that you have to have this this attachment to your family, yeah? Yeah. So family needs is very important because you really depend on mum and dad for lots of things.
Okay.
So I wasn't expecting to have anything like this in this country either. And I remember at one point, like maybe after a year or maybe longer that I was living here, I was quite desperate because, you know, you have to pay rent. I started doing English courses, which I have to, mm-hmm. have to pay for. And I remember somebody told me, why didn't you sign on? I said, what do you mean? So they explained to me what it meant. And I went to the job centre at the time. I was living in Brixton at the time. And they told me, you have to choose the job, so which kind of job you're looking for. And I said, well, I don't know, what kind of it's a cleaner or something. I said, but what do you want, what you do, what do you want? I said, well, I want to be an artist. I said, well, you have to write down that you're going to look at jobs to be an artist. And I was absolutely shocked by that. I thought, I can't believe it. I can't believe this country is so civilized that they regard artists being people that make work. Whereas, it's so different. I was so impressed, and I thought, this is beautiful. This is beautiful to have, to invest in culture and in art, and to have a society that think in this way. Yeah. It's something which is right now completely lost.
It's very interesting to hear you talk about that, because, of course, from the inside, my background's a little bit mixed, but I'm effectively British now.
Yeah.
But we don't kind of think of it necessarily as civilised, but things have changed in the last 20 years.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And even before Brexit, what would you say are the things that have maybe changed about the landscape in terms of how friendly it is to the arts, how possible it is to make a living as an artist?
I think obviously the whole thing for the arts start changing massively with the recession in 2008. And then the coalition government was already quite complicated, and now and then the Tory government, which came into power, you knew it was going to be the end of all the, just like they're really, they got different principles. They're this mantra about hardworking people, hardworking family. You know, it's completely the opposite of having this.
Okay, I want to pick up on something you were talking about, is the wonderful civilising aspect of actually offering people who work as artists some benefits while they get their work off the ground. Mm. Something that Leave campaigners really latched onto was the idea that people who are Europeans use British benefits. And I kind of wondered what you thought about that as an argument.
I think the argument seemed to be a total, shall we call it a lie or something? I think it was just made up to tap on that fear that is so typical, you know, of people who got no access to wealth, and very easily identify, you know, the stranger, the person from outside, being the problem for that. This is such a classic, you know, we can see through history. But how it's been used over and over again. What is ridiculous to me about this argument, and I find actually quite difficult to understand the people bought into this argument, because I think the point is, if you have people from Europe coming over to make money, because they come over to make money, they don't come over because they, you know, they're refugee or anything, political asylum, none of those things, is because probably you got a very strong economy, and I think I understand you cannot accommodate everybody, you know, mass immigration, but I don't think people come here to be on a dole in a small town in middle England where nothing happens. People are very attracted by big cities.
That wasn't your ambition.
Yeah. No, not at all. I'm sorry. No, you don't. The weather is not very good.
Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah. You don't come here
no.
for for the fun, sun and games.
So I think they're very attractive. Big cities where there is movement, there is money, and there is opportunity. People come for that. It's very attractive. And paradoxically, well, those big city, they all vote to stay.
Yeah, that's right.
So you see what I mean? I don't know. I think it's a very easy and lazy kind of argument to push, and very easy people somehow believe that.
Well, scapegoating immigrants rather than addressing.
And it's a bit dramatic because actually they, you know, there is no, I don't know, I think it's completely absurd. And I find painful as well to think that people regard all this European coming over to, you know, to take your money, your life, your women, all these ridiculous things, you know, just like, I think it's about information and ignorance and stuff like that.
We're in a difficult position now, because now that the vote for Brexit has happened, nobody has a clear idea of what that actually means. Theresa May recently said Brexit means Brexit. Like Gertrude Stein, a rose is a rose. Okay, so one of the central paradoxes at the heart of Brexit is wanting to hold on to free trade, but also in response to some populist arguments, which we're just talking about now, is clamping down on free movement. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are about what might happen next, maybe your fears, but also maybe some hopes that you might have about what could happen next for your life here, both as, you know, just as a person, but also as an artist.
Well, I think this is going to be very difficult for, I mean, if they want to have this free access in the market, I don't think the German, the French, and nobody else are going to be very happy to give this extra concessions to the United Kingdom. Why they should? Mm-hmm. And I think it's very dangerous, because if they get, if the United Kingdom get all those way they want to, they get it all, then it's very easy for the rest of the country to want to leave as well. So I think the rest of Europe, they want the Europe the project to stay. They're very determined, I think, to reform and to be very strong. So I don't think they're going to get any of this concession. So I'm not sure what Boris Johnson has got in mind, because today he just said, just before coming here, I heard this interview, he said, what did he say? He said, it doesn't mean Brexit.
There's something about us not changing our relationship with Europe at all, just with the EU. It's an interesting thing. Obviously, it's not him who's directly in charge of that side of negotiations. I'm wondering kind of how you feel now about living here. Has anything changed for you?
Everything did change for me, which I didn't think was going to be like this. Because, I mean, I effectively, I'm very privileged. I live in London, and, you know, I think London is quite a safe place, at least for now, for quite a long time. You know, because you've got all this, the business going on, there are people from different parts of the world, and the culture is still there. Everything is fantastic in London, and there is no problem. But somehow I feel like totally rejected. I can't help it. I feel really, I don't want to be here. If the majority of people of this country think that, you know, people like me is a problem, I'm sorry. I really don't want to even have a conversation about it. It's something is broken totally. You know, this idea that I had at the beginning of this society, which probably was a wrong perception, because I'm not from here. But the politician had the wrong perception, as I did, because they didn't understand there was this very unhappy, frustration going on in the country. Mm. But what I'm saying, just it's not really the society I want to live in. And I'm very lucky. I can be here very easily. I can apply. I'm married still. I can do my passport or whatever. But I don't know if I really want to be here. Do I want to work here?
Shocking to hear.
Yeah. I don't know. Now I feel very, very strongly.
So potentially, what Brexit might mean for the UK art scene is that we lose a lot of really talented European artists who've made a big contribution to the cultural life here, if you're not the only person who feels like this?
I don't know, because I haven't spoken with people in my situation about it, but I don't know, you feel really quite... The thing is, like, you know, if it was my country, would say, I take my strength and I want to battle against that. I want to make something happen. But I didn't have even the right to vote. You see what I mean? I feel like totally. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm totally an outsider, and I don't feel welcomed at all.
What's interesting to hear is that actually, on a practical level, if you wanted to, because you are married to a British man, you could make practical arrangements to stay here, but it's more than that. It's your feeling about the UK has changed.
Yeah. I feel it's a country that's got a lot of problems which I wasn't aware of, which I'm not familiar with, because it's not, you know, I wasn't here during the Thatcher years, blah, blah, blah. All of this comes from, you know, quite so long way away.
The deep seas.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, this and I understand probably it's right, it's going to be, it is like this. There has to be a reason, and I don't know who is going to sort this problem out, how. But personally, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm totally devastated, really I am. And I don't know if I can get some kind of good, reason to want to stay.
So Brexit's opened your eyes to some quite dark sides to the British psyche.
Yeah.
I guess as a British artist, I'd like to maybe end with us talking about what can we do as British artists to make you feel more welcome. Because it's quite devastating to me to hear that somebody who's been part of the theatre scene for 20 years and made a big contribution, I've enjoyed working with personally, is feeling so rejected and marginalised. So tell me, Patrizia, what can we do?
I think it would be, I'm not sure, I really don't know. I think it would be nice to somehow create some kind of form of dialogue with, or just to understand. I think we have to find a way to understand, perhaps, to understand why this thing happened and how. I got no possibility at the moment.
It's interesting. We were speaking just before actually we started about that there might be this moment, because it's quite chaotic, where we might, as artists, work somehow to change public perception. But an interesting thing you said is that it's normally the case with artists is they usually require a bit of time to reflect before they can come out with something. I guess I'd like to say, on behalf of Wishbone, but also British artists and the UK cultural scene, is please stay. Don't go yet. Give us a chance.
I will stay for a bit.
Okay, a bit. Okay, yeah, we'll see what we can do to keep you here.
Yeah.